Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to our Beltane on Air ceremony. Merry Beltane, and welcome to Moonrise. Moonrise will happen soon. Beltane is fire ceremony, and basically what we're saying is, sure, we're having a wonderful spring, but here comes the summer. It's the peak of spring, and it's the summer waking up. This is the Earth Mother coming alive. Fertility and potential that fills the land, and we thrive with her inspiration. It's time to make those moves into creating what we wish to harvest in this wheel of the year. It's the young oak king and the May queen. Beltane is a fire festival, and it's inspired by our Celt ancestor Bel. And in many other cultures, under many other guises, Bel was the bright one. And in Gaelic, Etin is the name of fire. It completes the moment as a bright fire. So it's time for us to collect hawthorn flowers down here. We're going to collect some gardenias and frangipani. And put up the maypole to announce the potency of the god and the fertility of the goddess. Growth, abundance, and fertility are present in the maypole rising. And all the dancing. So welcome to our on-air Beltane ceremony. Ra?
Thank you, Gwen. I love that music. It was just perfect for any kind of festival. And we're talking fire festivals and things right now. So that was perfect. It just made me want to dance around the fire or the maple, whichever one, you know, maybe a little bit of both. So tonight we have with us Lily Alley, Davron Michaels, Stan Klein, Rick Spacek, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, and myself, Ruth Anna Martefield. So welcome, everybody. And we want to welcome all our listeners, and we hope that you'll join in with us. So I'm going to cast a circle. And in your mind's eye, or if you actually want to get up and physically do this, you know, it's all good, but, you know, sometimes we use the candle, sometimes we use sage or some kind of a, other device or whatever does it for you. So we're going to start in the east and draw the circle. So here we go. Let it be called. Let it be cast. Our sacred circle of the present and the past. A meeting place, a spiritual space, where we welcome all from the human race. The circle is cast, so mote it be.
So mote it
so
be.
Mote it, so mote it be.
I call the spirits of the east, powers of the air, laughing swifts that ride the winds, fiery dancers laughing on the breeze. Pixies in the morning's meadow, sprites that fly on gossamer wings, divas of the realms of air, be with us. We come before you with open eyes, glorying in the rising sun of spring. Let this eve be a new beginning for us all. Hail and welcome.
Hail,
hail.
And welcome.
And welcome.
I call the spirits of the south, powers of fire, flaming phoenix of rebirth, salamander walking unharmed through the flame, dragons sleeping on riches and breathing fire, fiery hooves striking sparks from fiery horses, striking sparks from their hooves. I'm sure the horses forgive. Divas of the realms of fire, be with us. We come before you with open spirits, glorying in our freedom from the winter. Let this eve create our future anew. Hail and welcome.
Hail.
Hail
and welcome.
Welcome.
I call the spirits of the West, power of the water, naiads of the flowing rivers, undines of the ocean's deep, mermaids singing siren song, tritons swimming with the dolphins, divas of the realms of water, be with us, be with us. We come before you with open hearts, glorying in the circle of community that heals us. Let this eve teach us that we are never alone. Hail and welcome.
Hail.
Hail.
Hail and welcome.
I call the spirits of the north, powers of earth, dryads who safeguard the great tree, gnomes who mine the depths underground, elves of the forest walking silent trails, deep fairies of the hidden caves, divas of the realms of earth, be with us. We come before you to be at home in our bodies and glory in the solid truth of our flesh. Let this eve teach us that we are earth, and earth is sacred, and we are sacred. Hail and welcome.
Hail.
And welcome.
And welcome.
Lily?
Oh, sorry. We call the goddess in all her forms. Dear Artemis, make our aim clear and true. Make us run free and wild like you. Dear Isis, help us heal our deepest wounds and create our lives anew. Dear Aphrodite, let us embrace our bodies as our temples and enjoy life's sweetest pleasures. Dear Rhiannon, awaken our magic and wisdom so each may be the queen of her kingdom. Dear Hera, bless us in sacred union with our loved ones on earth as we dwell in what is called heaven. Dear Flora, crown us with garlands of flowers and bless us with beauty in all of our hours. Dear Freya, offer what is safe and right for us to be blessed this special night. Lady of a thousand faces, mother of us all, nurture us and grant us peace in all things great and small. Bless us now and bathe us in your gentle healing glow. Come to us, be with us, that your love we may know. Blessed be she.
Blessed be she.
Dear Nunos, horned God, hear us as we do call to you. We thank you for all of the beasts of the earth, those that bring signs and omens, those that nourish us, those that inspire us with their beauty and their power, and those that accompany us throughout our lives as friends. O great and powerful hunter and hunted, let us run with you through the wild forest, wild and free forever. Kernunos, hail and welcome.
Hail.
Hail.
Welcome.
And welcome.
And welcome.
I speak to the ancestors, those of the past that brought us to where we are. I ask that you join us this night in a joyous celebration. Dance with us around the maypole. Share the past experiences and the energies you have from past Beltanes. Come this night, join us, feast with us, enjoy, dance. I invite you. Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
And welcome. Meditation on Beltane. We are at the edge of a glade, just after fiery dawn. The birds are offering their songs to us all, chirping tentatively as the sun's golden fingers begin to reach in and warm the forest. The sun's golden glow slowly awakens the forest. She steps into the cool glade, tentative and light-footed. She slowly steps from the surrounding foliage, silently parting the large leaves that line the crystalline pool at its heart, carefully studying the glade in the clear pool at its center. Surveying the glade across from her, she looks for any disturbance or sign of unease in the surrounding wood. The birds above are at their ease, teasing each other with their pretty songs. Now that she's entered the glade and stands so still, even the frogs have resumed their love chatter, calling to their lady loves, harump, harump. Sensing no disturbance among her audience, she kneels beside the pool and studies her face framed by its festive crown as it greets her from the surface. Standing, she unfastens and drops her tunic onto the mossy rock beside the pool and slips silently into the crystal waters. She dives below the surface, wondering at the world below, and her eyes are caught by the beams filtering down through the cool crystal water. Happy sunbeams will join her there. Deciding on some sun to warm her skin, she surfaces and gently unwinds on a sunny boulder by the pool. The sun warms and penetrates her. She begins to fully relax. Silent footsteps find their way through the forest shade nearby. Each her step, as quiet as a tiger's tread, never disturbing twig or leaf as it makes its steady way to the rendezvous at the glade. He smells the water and hears the gentle gurgling of the brook, and in a moment stands yet invisible just beyond the open circle of the glade. He hears her murmured song, barely tickling her throat, and yet he knows her voice. Hidden behind the large leaves at the outer edge of the glade, he spots her tunic, tossed and hanging on a nearby branch. A quick arm extends, and the tunic is secreted just beyond the glade's rim. Her eyes flutter, and she senses more than sees the change and the disturbance. The birds still sing. The dragonflies continue their aerial ballet, and then there he is. Their eyes meet. They smile, a warm, knowing, intimate smile. He kneels at her feet and strokes her lovely legs, and her smile warms. Taking her delicate foot in his hand, he tenderly caresses it, strokes her leg. She stretches out her arms and whispers, "Come to me." So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Susie?
Okay, I have a story of Beltane for you. Once upon a time, the goddess of the moon, Rhiannon, ruled with her father over the land of the fairies. Rhiannon lived with her father in a crystal palace at the edge of a shimmering lake. She was so sweet that everyone fell in love with her, and yet when she was grown, her father promised her in marriage to a man that Rhiannon did not love. She could not love him, for she was already in love with a mortal, Prince Pool. One spring afternoon, as Pool was in the forest with his friends, he happened to glance upon a tor, a magical spot, covering the entrance to the fairy world below. In that moment, Rhiannon appeared before him, and he instantly fell in love at the sight of this beautiful woman in glittering gold. She was riding her handsome white horse, and she galloped past without even turning to look at him. Of course, from that moment, he could think of nothing but her. "I must marry that girl," he said. "You're mad," his friends told him. "You cannot love a fairy. She's only bewitched you." But Pool did not listen. Instead, he sent his servant to catch Rhiannon. The servant set off, but soon returned to report the goddess had escaped. "She was so fast," the servant said. "Her horse rode as if it wasn't even touching the earth." The next day, Pool returned to the same spot. Once again, Rhiannon appeared and galloped away, but this time he gave chase. Just as she was speeding out of sight, he called, "Please, wait," and she stopped. Pool trotted close, and Rhiannon smiled at him and said, "You ought to have called out a long time ago. You would have saved your horse." Pool immediately understood that she sort of liked him, too. "Come to my kingdom with me," he said. but she said she would come in 1 year, and then she vanished. The year passed, and on a beautiful spring day, Rhiannon reappeared on the tour. Poole had waited for her, and she silently gestured for him to follow her into the forest. Poole signaled to his servants to follow along. The men followed Poole and Rhiannon and watched in amazement as the trees before them parted. Once they had ridden past those trees, the path closed behind them, and the servants trembled with fear. They were afraid until they reached a clearing filled with songbirds. When the men heard those birds, all their worry and fear dissolved. They all traveled happily to the Crystal Palace. The spires were so high, they seemed to touch heaven. "Let's celebrate our wedding," Rhiannon told Poole. Hundreds of fairies appeared with a great feast, and for hours everyone sang and danced and ate and drank. But alas, the man who had been promised to Rhiannon suddenly began to cause a scene. He threatened angrily. Rhiannon tried to calm him, but when he would not settle down, she transformed him into a badger, and she swept the badger into a bag. She tossed the badger into the lake, calling out, "You will not bother us again." The very next day, Rhiannon and Poole departed for Wales. When they emerged again from the forest, the path to the fairy world closed behind them, permanently. Rhiannon knew she would never return to her childhood home. But she loved Poole, and the people of Wales welcomed her. For 2 years, it was joyous. But then people began to question her fitness as a queen. She had not yet had a child. Many turned against her and refused to call her the queen. But in the third year of her marriage, she gave birth to a strong, healthy son, and 6 servants helped to care for this boy. They watched over him day and night. But one night, the servant on watch fell asleep. When she awoke, she discovered the cradle was empty. Terrified, she decided she must blame the queen. After all, the queen was the outsider. So while Rhiannon slept, the servant smeared blood on her hands. Then she woke the others, crying, "The queen has killed her son." Poole was so grief-stricken and so furious, he could do little but offer to spare Rhiannon's life. He announced that her punishment would be to spend 7 years sitting by his castle, by the gate, wearing a horse collar. To all who came to the palace, she would have to tell the story of her crime and offer to carry them upon her back into the castle. But also on that fateful night of Beltane, a beautiful mare owned by a farmer gave birth to a foal every May Eve. But every May Eve, that foal vanished. This time, the farmer decided to keep watch inside the stable. Just as his mare gave birth, a huge clawed black hand reached into the window to grab the foal. The farmer hacked off the hand with his sword, and the foal was saved. He ran outside to capture the thief, but found no one. When he returned to the barn, he discovered a beautiful baby boy. He and his wife had been wanting a child, and they immediately adopted him. But after a few years, the couple noticed that the child had a real affinity for horses, had supernatural powers, and had begun to resemble the King Poole. The farmer decided that the child had to be Poole's and Rhiannon's son, and so returned him to his parents. Needless to say, through all these harsh winters and hot summers, Rhiannon had been carrying people without complaint. And as time passed, people in the country began to regain her respect. In the fourth year, these 3 strangers appeared at the palace gate, the farmer, his wife, and a young boy. Rhiannon greeted them, but to her surprise, the man lifted Rhiannon onto his horse. The boy handed her a piece of the gown. Rhiannon's eyes filled with tears because she knew this was a cloth she herself had sewn for her baby boy to sleep on. When the boy smiled at her, she saw her husband's eyes in his eyes. The farmer explained the story that 4 years earlier, on a stormy May Eve night, while helping his mare in labor, he found the boy. Yet when he heard the tale of Rhiannon, he knew this must be her child. Some people say the child was stolen by the bewitched badger who'd been left to die in the lake. Others say it was due to her choice to live with mortals. Like many things in life, we are left with more questions than answers. But now the child was safe. Rhiannon was restored to a place of honor. And best of all, she forgave everyone. And that's it.
Wow.
Great story.
That was nice.
Except the husband.
We want to blame Poole, but think about it. Poole was mortal, okay? And when he saw his servants, who he had probably had there for years, saying she'd eaten the kid,
oh,
you know
right.
what I mean?
I mean, we all do that. We jump to conclusions. I mean, it's a very good story because it shows what happens when we jump to conclusions and immediately think the worst. Yeah. Wow. Very nice.
But I enjoyed the story.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good story.
Yeah.
And very timely, of course.
Usually this time of the year you hear about a lot of hand fastings that are going to happen tonight or tomorrow. And
yeah.
I haven't heard of one.
I think a lot of people now in this, you know, quote unquote modern world do things on the weekends, truly. So I think there's probably been, and maybe this coming weekend also. But, yeah, I don't know of anyone who's being hand fasted right now either.
Oh, yeah, but remember that. Mary in May and Rue the Day. Their traditional was actually June. This was the lusty month. Then you get down to serious things in June.
That's right.
Then
May
it's
is
just
lusty.
Stay single and be, just stay single and be ready to mingle in June.
Well, hey, after all, this is Beltane, right? When you mask up and grab someone and go off to the fields.
And you do it in the dew, as they say.
That's right, because you're bringing fertility to the fields. Yes. So, hey.
The dew of a Beltane morning is supposed to increase fertility many times.
Do it in the dew. Okay, that should be the next bumper sticker.
I think John Lennon sort of said it. He had a different take, but he really did say it very paganly. Why don't we do it in the road?
Because you get hurt on the road.
Or shot.
That's why I don't want stones and stuff and pebbles in my back or front or sides or, you know, knees. That's fine. He can do it in the road.
Yeah,
you know you're doing
it
right if you get some road rash.
You know,
yeah.
in England and Ireland, I drove on roads that were on the map that told me to go there that had nary a pavement on them. So there's always that.
If there's two paths, the tires fit, it's a road.
It's a road, yes.
Well, it could, yeah, I guess that's, yeah. Well, if you're talking car tires or something, I mean, I guess bicycle tires don't have to be on a road. But, okay.
No.
Four wheels,
no,
right?
That's a path. That's a path.
Right. If four wheels fit on it, it's a road.
Or two, a cart being pulled.
That's true.
Give me a good Jeep with some big tires, and I don't need a road.
Until you hit the trees.
Until you hit the trees, exactly.
The low-hanging branches.
Okay, trivia question. Who gets this right first? What famous rock song mentions the May Queen?
Oh, but gee, I know that, and I know this too. I know this.
Stairway to Heaven.
Very good. Ding, 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 ding.
Good call.
That's absolutely right. Yes.
So tell me about your favorite Beale tonight.
Mine was in 2008 in Albany, New York.
What happened there?
It was a beautiful day. There was probably 50, 60 people that attended the event. The men traditionally marched the Maypole in. The females of the congregation and the high priestess anointed the pole. Then it was placed into the ground. The dance that followed, I drummed so hard I had blisters on my hands, because the energy was so great. I mean, it was just, I mean, Davron was there. It was just a fantastic event.
Yes, it was.
And things grew out of that. It was definitely a fertile event.
I think we had a lot of spirits too, didn't we?
Say what, Davron?
Didn't we have a hand fasting at that event, too?
Yes, we did. And as well, there was reporters from one of the local little newspapers that came and attended the event and reported on it.
Oh, that's right. I recently had occasion to officiate his hand fast, him, as a matter of fact, although not to the other reporter, to someone else.
Ah. But, yes, we hand-pastored a couple that the man was shipping out to, I believe he was going to Iraq. And they had a traditional marriage. And she was pagan. He really wasn't, but he was open to it. And she wanted to have a hand fasting. And they did that, and then we did a special little ritual and ceremony for the gentleman himself to protect him while he was serving our country in Iraq. So it was a really, I mean, there was a lot going on that day, and the energy was fantastic, and I'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm. That sounds
nice. That was beautiful.
Wow.
So now that I kind of wiped that one off the slate for Davron to talk about.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's see. Sometimes
now
quiet buildings can be good too, especially if you're solitary. One of the things I like to do on Beltane is go out into the forest and see the new budding. I live in the Northeast, so this is the time of year when, even though we're in the midpoint of spring at this point here, the buds are just starting to come onto the trees. The early flowers are just starting to come up. Greenery is beginning to return. And one of the traditions I like to observe is to honor my favorite trees. I've always had a very strong affinity for trees, and I get to know my trees personally. They're all very individualized. And I go and I leave offerings for these wise old trees and spend some time with them and absorb their energy and share energy with them. And I try to get in touch with the forest and feel a little bit of that wild, feel a little bit part of that great cycle of earth and of nature, and just get out there and be my wild and free self in the forest. So whether you're part of a group or whether you're operating individually, it's a great time to get out there. And I mean, if you live in a city or something, go to a park, you know, observe some greenery, watch the way it's reacting and see the life and feel the energy of it. And hug a tree. I know, you may look a little stupid, people may laugh, but hug a tree. They're, you'll feel the energy coming off of it, and you'll feel it ground you and yet uplift you at the same time as it draws the energy up from the earth and takes the energy from the sun and from the air and the sky. And it's an excellent, excellent thing to do this time of year to get yourself prepared for and in touch with the summer. And go out and early in the morning and smell the flowers and do bathe yourself in the dew. And it's beautiful to go out early, early morning before anyone else is awake and the sun is just coming up, and watch the way the sun glints in the drops of the morning dew and shines through the petals of flowers and the green of the leaves, and look up and see the beautiful canopy of newly forming leaves overhead, all bright and shiny and new, and see the way the light plays. And it's just a magical, wonderful time of year.
You're making me homesick, Dav.
I have to say something to Dav on that one, because we had snow the other day here in Syracuse, New York. And so my beautiful magnolia tree now has brown tips, which I'm not really happy with. And for Ruth Ann, I went to talk to the ginkgo tree, and the ginkgo tree still said, "Are you crazy? I'm not coming out yet." So there's not even buds yet.
Is there lilac? Is there lilac?
Not yet.
Not where I am.
Yes.
Not where I am.
Good.
My dewdrops came up.
The lilac will come out.
Nothing else.
Boy,
the lilacs and the lilies of the valley. The lilacs and the lilies.
Yes, I love lilies of the valley. They're beautiful for May. They're one of my favorites.
We've got lots of tulips in bloom, and the trees are just budding out. Well, they're more than budding. I mean, we're leafing all over the place. And the, you know, the trees that have the, they're not all fruit trees, but just pretty ones with the red and the white and all. It's really pretty here right now.
It is beautiful. It's getting there.
Yeah. I always have a thing about this time about the peonies, because, you know, they're supposed to bloom like the end of May, right? And like when I was a kid, and I guess they still do, you know, they have Memorial Day, like people would pick peonies and take to the cemetery. And I'm always thinking, oh, my God, are they going to be in bloom? They always make it. But it's like, man, they shot up within just like a week or two. I mean, it was amazing. There was nothing there, and then whoosh, you know, they're 18 inches high. And then, so I'm pretty sure they're going to do fine for my Memorial Day.
Very nice.
I like them a lot. They just smell so nice, and, you know, if you do ever take them in the house for cut flowers, just check them before you bring them in, because, you know, the ants just love them. And some people say that the ants actually help them open up. I don't know if that's true or not, but the ants really like peonies. So, you know, you should check any flower before you bring it in for little beasties, but especially peonies for ants. That's just a word of advice.
That's true. My peonies have not even come up yet. They're still hiding too.
Oh my goodness.
But we had snow 2 days ago, so they're waiting. Everybody's waiting. It's so funny. Even the crab apple is waiting. They're just saying, uh-huh. Yep, you come out first.
Oh, well.
Of course, to be fair, in Syracuse, New York, it's been known to snow in June, too, so.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, that was when things were more, quote-unquote, normal. And now that we know this is the new normal, who knows when it's going to snow? You know, when you live in the mountains, you expect to, you know, you some mountains you can see snow on year-round, you know. But, yeah, well, here in the flatlands, we really don't expect that, but, you know, no guarantees.
But it just goes to show that the goddess and the god in nature knows when to have those flowers bloom so that they can survive.
Yep. Yep.
I have a really good Beltane story.
Oh,
really good.
Go.
A good one personally. It may gladden you too. On May Day of 1991, I clicked the switch of the neon light that said open on Daughters of Isis down here in Pompano Beach. My sister and I opened our little shop. And that was 1991. Long time.
20-year anniversary.
28. 28.
When does it seem like it's been 20 years, or does it seem like it's been 50?
It's actually been 28 years, and it's been a journey, and it's never died. It's always been alive in both of us, and it's transformed many times. We were there for 10 years, but what I do miss is the herb room. That I miss a lot because I had many more herbs than I have in my hands now. But, I ordered from the museum company that makes those beautiful Egyptian statues. Y'all know which ones I'm talking about, right? The beautiful replicas of the Egyptian statues from the museum.
Yeah.
I have this beautiful winged Isis, and I ordered it like 4 days before out of New York. And that day around noon, it arrived.
My goodness. Yeah. And that was before Amazon Prime. So, that was really something.
It really did. It came, I guess museum store uses FedEx, and it did at that time. But it was amazing. I sat down and cried.
Yeah. Sad, I probably cried. Yeah.
So tomorrow is our 28th birthday.
Okay.
Well, happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
DaughtersofIsis.com, everyone. You will be amazed.
The fragrant memories of our ancestors.
Well, I've always said the Daughters of Isis makes good sense.
There you go.
There you go. Rick. There you go. Our words there.
As we were all sitting here too, my sister came home and she put in front of me a little card from Ms. Ruth Ann Amartafeo. So I also got my little Beltane card. Thank you, Ra.
Thank you.
Yes, and I got another smile on my face.
Me too.
I got the card from Ra. Put a smile on my face, saw that little envelope, and just brightened the day.
It does, doesn't it?
Mine too.
I have to add something in here because Lady Sparrowhawk just walked by pointing at her going, my herb room. Her herb room, and it was by far the largest in the state. It had, at the end, we had over 400 jars. Think I don't miss it, boys. Oh, boy.
Oh, well, Rick, do you have yell today because I remember your story about the mulberry bush, the mulberry tree, and your son. So do you have a funny Dale Tenay story?
Well, in a manner of speaking, I do. When we were out in Denver many, many years ago, a couple decades back, we wanted to experience that special celebration of the god and the goddess in the fertile forest making whoopee. And we went high into the Rocky Mountains and we enacted the Chase of Pan. And when you're leaping from rock to rock amongst the high woodland forest, it was absolutely magical. And we read some magical poetry and joined in good form.
Definitely.
So it was a lovely rite of spring, a lovely Beltane, and a celebration of the fertility.
Okay, got it. Sounds very festive.
I can just see
in the Rocky Mountains. I mean, what could be better?
You know, it's pretty high up there.
Indeed.
Well, I've got this vision of him bouncing from rock to rock.
Oh.
Yep.
Well,
that's
I don't want to say, I mean, that vision's too laughable. Never mind. Yeah. Before or
yeah,
after.
Yeah, but I will always have that. And I thank him for sharing that, because now when I might be in a down mood or a little aggravated about something, I'll just see that in my head, and everything will go away, and I'll have to laugh.
There you
go.
Good.
So thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
celebrating fertility in the Rocky Mountains, jumping from rock to rock. Okay.
You're going to have road rash there.
I have been at celebrations where people, you know, wandered off and, you know, it was very joyous and raucous and lusty and all of that. And I ended up with a couple of guys playing gin rummy with a bunch of whiskey. And I had a damn good time.
There you go. Yeah. It's one of those holidays. It's different from the others. And Lissa is that way too.
Yeah.
Summer equinox. It's equinox. Summer solstice. It's sort of a bawdy, rowdy, frolicking kind of time too. And you know, a lot of people do the you know, I don't want to call it the maypole because it's in June. And if you say the pole dance, people immediately think of the pole dance. But anyway, they also dance around the pole for June, some places.
Do they? Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Is great, because, I mean, why would you only do it once a year? You know, it's so much fun. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, hey,
well,
I mean, if you've got it all set up and all ready, just, you know, hold on to it. Use it the next month, and, yeah.
Gee. Wow. Okay.
You know, multi-use, multi-purpose. We don't want to waste anything.
Well, you know, in England, what I found out at Beltane, it's all about dragons, too. Dragon fire.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They call the directions by dragons. You know, they set the standard of the dragons, which this year, if you're a Got fan, everybody's talking dragons.
Oh.
But, yeah, the dragon fire.
That's funny, because I think of dragons and I – I always think of Asian birth, I guess. Well, I saw a picture, but I didn't read the article, but it said something about celebrating in Germany, and they were all dressed up, you know, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Biggie there.
Oh, yeah. It's the, hang on, I'll tell you exactly. It's the Wolfsager Hexenbrot group.
I was going to say
and
it starts with a W, and I wouldn't even try
to
pronounce
the,
it.
Yeah, the Wolfsager Hexenbrot. And they celebrate Walpurgis.
Walpurgis Nacht
is
the name of it.
Yeah. But the group is the Wolfsager, and they celebrate with this. So it's a wonderful video. It's on my page. I've been posting it for the last couple of years, and it's the they do this wonderful with I think the name of the song is actually Making the Bacon, and they do this wonderful dancing costume. The gals, you know, all dressed up like the stereotypical Disney witches. And they just do this
wonderful,
beautiful, beautiful bump, 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 keeping the beat dance. And it's just beautiful. It's great. Wonderful. The sisters over there are doing it. And they're growing because people love it so much. They've been drawn into it, want to get involved. So their coven has grown because of this. And now they're celebrating several of the solstice and equinoxes with all kinds of folks attending. It's become something of a big thing because of that YouTube of the ladies.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds almost sort of like a Mardi Gras. Gwen, did you give us an hour or more than an hour, minute-wise?
You told me I had to start putting in 90 minutes.
Ah, okay. Sure.
Did you
want to make sure about that?
I have not formally received the paper with the little song I'm supposed to sing when I'm losing my mind yet. So I'm remembering things still.
That's good, yeah.
That's good, yeah. And if I am singing a song, it's usually Led Zeppelin, so.
Well, does what about food? You know, my eternal question, right? Is there a particular kind of food that you are going to have tonight or tomorrow? Anyone?
I'm not sure. It's not my choice. It's
marshmallows. Always marshmallows.
Marshmallows.
The time of year.
Yeah,
you're having the fire all night, and you're staying up and telling stories. And you've got to make those s'mores.
Yeah.
And also it's fun to watch people cook their hot dogs on the fire. And, you know, sometimes when I've done it before, we have a grill on the side. And so, you know, you can grill. But in a public park, it's nice as well, because if they've got the grill, you make one the fire and one the grill. And so that works out quite well.
Very nice.
That's nice.
I'll tell you, but you won't like my answer. I'm having a big, juicy, delicious, fresh spring lamb roast.
Ooh.
Yuck.
Well, you can think about that lamb and the terror it felt.
Oh, dear.
I told you she wouldn't like my answer.
But I'm just saying, you know better.
I'll have a sourdough or something with it. We'll eat some veggies too.
So
I'm going to do my dandelion stuff because, you know, I mean, what's more spring than dandelions, right? And they are gorgeous. They're everywhere.
Do you make the wine?
Oh yeah.
I don't add it, and
it
I love
in
it.
Trouble.
And I helped make it one time with some friends, but I've not made it on my own. And right now I don't
have
some
in high school.
You should make some and put some in like some purified like Coca-Cola bottles or pop bottles, you know, and send it on out for a Beltane gift. Hint, 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 hint.
No pop bottles, trust me. But yeah, and I don't have the Crocs stuff that we had made it in before, but I also know that I could do it in on that gallon, glass jars, which I don't have right now either available. So I guess another year probably without. Although, I mean, they're going to bloom all summer. So, I may.
I'll send you some glass.
Okay.
Already sterilized. I'll send it from my glass company. They actually have wonderful bottles that have those wonderful, airtight, type things just to make things like beers and wines and stuff. And they're really inexpensive.
Yeah, but just remember, while it's fermenting, do not cap it. This is something a 15-year-old boy in high school did not know, and three of us put our dandelion wine that was still fermenting in bottles, capped them, and put it in our lockers at school.
And wondered why things exploded. Mm.
Yes, and then, the principal come to talk to us because it was rather evident whose locker it come out of. And so you got to remember, while it's fermenting, do not cap that up. You will regret the results. That has been a public service notice, and this is all.
Thank you. Yeah.
Let me make a request to the circle, if I may. I have a friend who's in need of healing. Her name is Carol Bartolotto. She is a wonderful person, a nutritionist, a webcaster, and she has had really, really awful luck with standard Western medicine. She took a fall off a ladder and landed very, very badly on her foot. And it has been almost 4 months, and she's getting no relief whatsoever. And her foot is basically double its size. And so I told her I would ask my good friends in the healing circle to send some energy to California, to Carol Bartolotto, for her right foot. So if you would send a little healing energy, that would be much appreciated, my friends. Thank you so much.
It shall be done.
You got it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh yes.
And let me take a moment to thank you all for your energy and your support and healing thoughts for my recent passage. It was much appreciated, and I very much felt your presence with me. So thank you all.
It's so good to have you back. But we never got
to
hear your voice. I missed hearing you.
Well, thank you, brother. Thank you very much.
I think we would not be right to not mention, other than my dog's barking, the fact that just while we were in ritual, there's now 2 dead and I think 4 wounded at University of North Carolina. And if we can keep the families and the victims and the survivors in our prayers, because we all know what's going on and it's got to stop.
Oh.
Agreed.
I got it. Yes.
Healing energy.
I heard about the school went on lockdown earlier today.
Yeah, I did too.
They knew something was going to be going on, and were taking measures. But doing what I did in the military, I can assure you, if somebody to me that's mentally deranged, what do you think you're going to accomplish doing this? It makes no sense whatsoever. But I can tell you, you can have all the security you want, and if that person really wants to do it, and they know what they're doing, it's going to happen. Fortunately, most of the people that's doing this stuff do not have that type training, and they get caught. There were some that were caught earlier today out in California.
Because they're programmed. They're the patsies. I mean, they're supposed to be caught.
You know, but yes, we want to include all those people and all the past victims of such actions. We should keep that in mind and keep them in our thoughts and prayers constantly.
Yeah.
And I want to thank Gwen. Gwen, you really touched my soul. Your commentary on the woman who took the bullet for her rabbi.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, I often say that I would do it for my archpriest, but when you really think about it, do you know what I mean? You say to yourself, yeah, well, that will never happen. Well, this woman, it happened. And what was worse, as some of you know, is that she was being given CPR, and it was by her own husband before he realized who it was.
Yeah. Her name was Lori Gilbert Kay. And when another young lady asks me, what is the goddess? That will be one of the names I will give her. Absolutely.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. When I really appreciated seeing that post. I don't agree with all your posts all the time, but that one was awesome. And
see?
I think we have to, seriously think about this at night. I think Stan does, because he's got the experience. I gained that experience from my dad, but who would you take a bullet for? And would you take the bullet for a spiritual or political leader that you believed in, that you knew, you know what I mean, needed to continue, whether you did or not? She took I can't even imagine. You're in a synagogue praying, and you don't expect that to happen. But unfortunately, today, we tend to have to expect that to happen. And these families with school kids, my parents didn't worry about that.
No.
Okay, when I went to school, what is it now, almost 40 years ago, my parents worried about other things, and they warned me about other things, but they never said to me, and watch out for a gunman.
No.
That's on everybody's thought. Do you know what I mean? Every time I hear of a kid going to school, I say, oh, okay, and it can happen no matter where you are, or even if there's two dogs who don't have guns and they're fighting like they did just now. two griffins.
Well, think about New Zealand.
Go ahead, Stan.
In the mob.
On the lady that took the bullet for the rabbi, to me, my first thought on that was she was a true practitioner of her beliefs.
Yes, she was.
Her religious beliefs and her spirituality, she was true to it. She just didn't say, I'm this.
She acted.
That was the ultimate act of her believing in her religion.
She acted.
And you rarely see that. And, Lily's right. It's easy to say, well, I'd take a bullet for this person. But in reality, folks, when it comes down to it, you may or may not. It has to go with your beliefs. And anyone that would do that, I have to honor them for following their beliefs.
Well, I would take a bullet for any of you.
Thank you, Dad.
Say
but
that again.
I said I would take a bullet for any of you. But then I'm going to give it right back to the person that said it.
He has a bulletproof shield.
Stan, I think she acted, I just think she acted reflectively, which, she acted the only way she knew how. She protected. And it comes, as you say, right, and as Davis, everyone has said, out of her spiritual nature that was so alive within her. She just acted. She stood.
There was no conscious thought of doing that.
Right.
She
did it. And, the rabbi said later that if the guy's gun hadn't jammed, it would have been so much worse. And you just think about that Christchurch incident in New Zealand. and you think about all of what has gone down. You know, in New Zealand, 5 days, in 5 days, that prime minister had shut down the automatic weapons, had them out of them. They had pictures of trucks backing up to sporting goods stores and such, taking the guns out. I thought, what a miracle that was, you know? and try to visualize it happening here, you know? I just, it's horrible. And while we're here celebrating the goodness of a spiritual life and our connections to the spirit and to the earth and what's going on in North Carolina, it just brings it all to ground zero with each of us. And I think every American right now is going through, every conscious American right now is going through an emotional grinder over all of this. I really do.
Well, I have to agree with you 100%. And I think it should be all right for a person to own a weapon for self-protection, which to me, it's real irony. Okay, you got a weapon. Well, you got to have a gun safe, and you got to keep the weapon in the gun safe. If somebody breaks in your house, you're going to go, hold on a second, I got to get my weapon? That's not protection. You know, and why do you need something that has a 50 round clip and can fire at a rapid rate, even on semi-auto? You know, I'm the guy that says, all right, folks, let's again look at the Second Amendment and think about what was going on and what was available at the time our forefathers wrote that.
Minuteman.
You can have a tomahawk, you can have a knife, you can have an axe, you can
right.
have a black
and when
powder
they wrote
rifle.
That, women were second-class citizens and blacks were nothing. I mean, a lot of things have changed.
Well, yes, a lot of things have changed, but back then, no one that said you have the right to bear arms was thinking about this guy that can have a full assault rifle equal to what we carried in the military. And in many cases, far superior to what we carried in the military.
I was just going to say to you, Stan, in many cases, it's far superior than, you know, what they hand out to you. You know, as a gun owner, I would say straight out to anybody, you have to be responsible. You have to know when to hold them and realize that it may not be the best idea to not have background checks. Some places have serious problems with that. But on the other hand, it is our Second Amendment right. And it comes down to, unfortunately, I've lost a lot of friends killed by the weapon of a car. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And
I
like my car. I certainly am not going to say that we have to have background checks to drive a car. But it's something that we all... There's a lack of responsibility
but you know
and accountability
what?
In this
whole,
world.
The whole thing, people who want guns will get them. And years and years ago, they used to have that thing, if guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. Well, this is true.
That's true. And look at what's going on in England, in London in particular, where they don't have easy access to guns, but the amount of knife wounds, stabbings, and knife deaths are staggering through the roof.
Hey, well, you can't kill as many people with the knives as with a gun, which is true. But
guns,
you know, you're not going to mosque
people
and
kill
200 people.
You know, everybody started this with Second Amendment, and I went to school too. And the Second Amendment was written at a time when our ancestors on this land, I mean, I had some there, and basically it was written for people, groups. It wasn't just for men either, women too. at Minutemen because we were facing revolution. We were going into revolt, into rebellion, and we were repelling the enemy from the shore. I mean, guerrilla warfare is American. I mean, in the trees, in the bushes, snap the redcoat. That was where it really came from. It was so that we were ready to go when we needed to go, because they could come, they could land, we would be caught unawares, and they'd just roll right through. So there were the Minutemen. There were all kinds of groups at that time. But am I wrong? That's what the Second Amendment was written for.
And it was also written to ensure that if our government becomes out of control or controlled by tyrants, that we would have the ability to rise up against them and maintain our freedom and democracy. It is not inconceivable that someone could take power, a particular party, and...
here we go.
There may come a time when such a thing is needed.
Why not? Yeah.
Okay, can I throw something in here?
We could have a terrorist. We could have a terrorist incident. You don't know what you're into until we know what we're into. And we should have the right to protect ourselves.
Okay, can I throw something in?
Can
this has all been very stimulating conversation, but we kind of got away from Beltane.
We did, didn't we?
I would like to make a recommendation. A wonderful book, it's not a new book, by Pema Chodron. It's called Practicing Peace in Times of War. It's a very small book, and it's excellent. And what it talks about is how it all, you know, we can do whatever we want, political parties, organizations, whatever. But if it doesn't start within us, it's not going to work. So it has to start within us. And this means getting rid of the hatred. Like, you know, back when I was a kid, we were taught to hate the sin, not the sinner. And I feel that way about some of these people in political power. I mean, they are absolute disasters. Mm-hmm. I hate none of them. I hate things that they do.
Right.
But I think that this is one of the things, and just like people that you know personally, you know, remember, they are our brothers and sisters. We don't have to like what they do, but we must recognize the humanity of all of us. And if we all start, like, doing that, it makes a difference with the people around us, and this is the way we change things. I mean, I'm not saying don't join organizations and don't sign petitions and all. By all means, do. But soften your heart enough to recognize the humanity of all of us and acknowledge our connection to each other. I think that's a good beginning. But I totally recommend this book. It won't take you that long to read it. Just read it through and then go back and, you know, check out different things. But if you don't know, Pema Chodron is a American Buddhist nun who is a resident teacher at Gampo Abbey in Nova Scotia. And she's written a lot of books, and she's done lots of talks. You can see her on YouTube also. But her books are excellent. This is just called Practicing Peace in Times of War, and it is excellent. Please check it out.
You know,
library.
You know, Ra, you're quite right, and I've always advocated and stood with the principles of MLK as far as my activism goes and being in the street. I also understand Billy and Stan and I guess Davron and their need for and what they are saying about protection. If a bad thing were going on, if I were caught in something like, oh, good Lord, like Las Vegas became, and someone went down next to me that was a peace officer who had a weapon or something, and someone's prowling around, you know, shooting people, I'd pick up that weapon to defend. I would.
Right.
I understand what they're saying. I will not let someone kill indiscriminately like that, if I can stop it, just like the lady stood and turned and stood between love and hate and took a bullet, that's in my mind, it's you don't let someone go indiscriminately killing. But I don't advocate either for, I want automatic weapons unavailable. I want them unavailable to people who aren't.
They'll always be available, whether they're illegal or not.
I know. There's too many of them there now. What can we do? That's one way of seeing it. I still would like to see them. I would like to see it so that people can't go and get them the way they do anymore. It's just,
but
you know how
many. Most importantly is to be vigilant. It is people that kill people, not
that's
the guns
right.
themselves. It's very and timely, and I want to give a shout-out to my son today because, as a matter of fact, he had an issue earlier today in school, and a kid was chatting on Snapchat or one of these social media platforms and sent out an extremely disturbing text. I'll read you excerpts because he sent me the screenshot. I can't read all of it because it contains some fairly foul language. I swear to God, if I ever get pushed again or any of that blank, I don't let blank push me around because I will literally black out and will kill. Next thing you know, you're dead, and I'm in the back of an armored military truck going to a maximum security prison. Trust me, if I get blanked with, I will go off on you. I'm not kidding. Ask those blanks I knew in a local city near me. They knew exactly never to blank with me again. Just saying, don't blank with me. Stay the blank away from me. Where the next thing you'll hear is click, click, clack, which is the sound of a shotgun. Well, my son, very, very intelligently, immediately took a screen print of that and brought it to my attention, and I contacted the principal, and by the end of the day, that child was in police custody, being interviewed
good.
By the FBI, the local
yeah,
police,
that's
and appropriate
good.
Mental health authorities. And
yeah.
let's say he hadn't, and that had been ignored. My son is not the only one. There were dozens of people that received that. That is someone who needs to be immediately placed under observation because that is a school shooter in the making.
Yeah.
And apparently this is not the first problem. But if it wasn't
call
for my son standing up and calling that out, there could have been a school shooting right here in New York. It might have just been prevented.
Yeah.
So
good
kudos
for you.
To him
thank
for having
you.
The brave.
Yeah. Yeah, good for Brandon.
Tell him
yeah.
Reverend Stan said that was a very good thing he did.
I absolutely would.
But this is what happens when you're close to your children and they can feel they can come to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he comes to you with all kinds of things. Excellent move, both of you. Yeah, great.
Well, you know, there's a fine line balance between being dad and being a friend. And you have to
right.
be able to be both. But boy, is it a
yep.
fine line.
It is. It very much is. But if you have that open, honest communication and trust, hopefully this is what you end up with. I'm very proud of it.
Yes, definitely.
I am
yeah.
too. And, you know, this is what
yeah.
all Americans need to do. They need to start
right.
stepping up instead of just ignoring it or going, oh, well, that's just another thing. It might
yep.
stop some of the senseless killing. You're never going to stop mm-hmm. all of it. Anyone
you
who
know,
thinks you're going to stop all this is delusional. Because go back through history. Go back to the first cavemen. Go back to the Bible. One brother kills another. You know, one caveman beats the other one in the head so he can have what he's got. It's been that way forever. It's never going to stop. But if we can intervene and catch some of the people before the thing event even happens, that will be a monumentous thing. And the only way we do that is by staying vigilant and cooperating with authorities. I'm not saying turn the place into a police state, but if you want to live safe, people, you got to be responsible about where you're living.
Well, that's true. That is true. But still, however, there's still the idea that we can stand up to the bully. We have to. I've watched it, it's been my experience that if you stand up to a bully, they defuse it. They do. They back down. I live in what's called the safest city in my state. And during the last political season, or the large election, the last presidential, I came across two incidents where there was bullying going on a racial basis. And I basically just, you know, stepped in and said, excuse me. And it diffused the woman. And she just, you know, walked away. And then another example was a bunch of people trying to push the lone, you know, person with their political sign aside. And I said, excuse me, you can't do that. That's against the law. And when they threatened to, you know, push me out of the way, I said, let me call the sheriff. This is against the law. It diffused them right away. They started moving away. So it takes courage to do that in most circumstances for most people. I mean, it took a lot of courage. It took me screwing it up to me, you know, to do that. But I had to not do it angrily. You know what I'm saying? You don't just get out of the car and start screaming at people. You have to say, excuse me.
Can we turn this back a little bit to Beltane, like Stan said? And
I was
going to
say that
issue...
we need to wrap this up time-wise. So I still say practicing peace in times of war, it all starts with us. Everything we've been talking about, it starts with each of us individually.
And it goes with Beltane of bringing things into reality, of manifesting those things we desire or want. It's part of this time and this celebration. It's the spiritual side of it.
And
so,
you know how we love to celebrate these times, and we want to make the world a better place, so everybody who wants to celebrate happy times is able to. I think that's something to think about too. Some people can't.
Let me just say something quick.
Do our goodbyes, and we'll start with ancestors.
Well, wait a minute, Ra. Lily wanted to say something. Lily?
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say to everybody, keep in mind, this is the celebration of life. And what we're talking about is making sure everyone enjoys life. At Samhain, we honor the dead. But Beltane is the cross festival for life. And I think that's just an important note to make.
It is.
It is. Thank you.
And the veils are thin today.
Now, turning to the ancestors, we have felt your presence with us this night. And we appreciate that you joined us to share with us this festive event, to share with us the conversations, and manifest those things into being in our lives so that we may all live better and prosper and make this a better place. Again, I thank you for your presence, and now I shall bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
O great and powerful Kernunos, Lord of the beasts and master of the eternal hunt, we thank you for your presence and for the blessings you bestow upon us. May there be peace and honor between us now and forever. Hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell. O Mother of all faces and forms, thank you for joining us in this circle. We thank you for all your gifts of life, and to hold in your arms those who are suffering at this time. We wish you hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
And farewell.
divas of the realms of earth, thank you for abiding with us. We release you now, and thank you for being with us. Hail and farewell.
Hail.
Hail and farewell.
And farewell.
Divas of the realm of water, thank you for being with us. We release you now with our gratitude. Hail and farewell.
Hail.
Hail.
Hail. Farewell.
And farewell.
Farewell.
Divas of the realm of fire, thank you for dancing with us this evening and being with us. We release you with gratitude. Hail and farewell.
Hail.
Hail.
Farewell.
And farewell.
Divas of the realms of air, thank you for being with us. We release you with gratitude and hope to bring you back again. Hail and farewell.
Hail.
Hail.
And farewell.
And farewell.
Well, we've had our sacred time in the sacred space, and we've shared a lot of ideas, some that we differ on, and that's okay too. Showing respect and acknowledging everyone has a right to their views, we now open the circle that has served us this well. So the circle is open, but never broken. As above, so below. As the universe, so the soul. Merry meet and merry part. And merry meet again, y'all.
Merry meet.
And merry part.
Merry part.
And merry.
So mote it be.
Come again. So mote it be.
So mote it
be. Good
night,
everyone.
So mote it be.
So mote it be. And thank
you. And now it's time to merry eat.
There you go.
She's right.
So,
talk
light
to you all
fires.
Later. Thank you for being with us. And I enjoy being here tonight. Later.
I second that, Dan.
Thank you all for being here this evening. And I'll say good evening on Here Be Monsters Radio with a little sidebar. And thank you to Ara Martifeo for helping to produce these on-air ceremonies and everybody who joins us each week. I'm mixing up my shows, aren't I, Ross? everybody who comes for every crop quarter and quarter day that we celebrate on air. My best to all of you this evening and through tomorrow. Have a very merry, blessed, and peaceful, safe Beltane. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to do this on your station, Gwen.
Oh, hey, you know, that's what we for.
There you go.
Blessings.
Thanks, everybody. Like I said, go light the fires. This is it.
Go light the fires. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.